And today we're going to do Kuf Nun Bet and Kuf Nun Gimel. I'm going to go back to what we did at the very end of class very quickly, and I'm going to explain it more clearly, and it's going to build up on what we're going to do today. Okay, Itmar. So top of Kuf Nun Bet Amud Aleph. Madnat Shchiv Mirasha Katuba Kinyan. Okay, what's the case here? The case is somebody gives a gift on their deathbed, and what we have now is a document that the Edim wrote that said so-and-so gave a gift, okay, and it says he gave a gift with a kinyan. Okay, so now the whole issue is, why did he add this extra kinyan? In theory, all he needed to do was just to say. So in this case, the person, we have a shtar that testifies to the fact that he gave a gift with a kinyan. What does it mean, a kinyan here? Because there's shtar. We're going to see a bunch of different things. There's the issue of shtar, which is going to be the question. Does it necessitate a shtar or not? And if there was no shtar, then it doesn't count. But a kinyan is that they did a kinyan chalipin. They did a handkerchief, kind of symbolic kinyan. So the question is, why did he do that extra kinyan? Does that, the fact that he did that extra kinyan, does it show that he wanted to have a document to go with it, and that he wanted it to be more official and have a shtar? Or did it show that he just wanted to strengthen the gift? If he wanted to just strengthen the gift, then what do we say? Then he doesn't need a shtar, right? The whole idea was just to make it, the kinyan was just to say, I want to make sure that this really goes to you. Okay, as opposed to the other side, which is going to say, no, if he did a kinyan, it must be he also wanted the shtar to be passed on to the other person. If it wasn't, then ein shtar la'achar mita. Okay, that's the basic distinction between Rav and Shmuel. So, bei Rav mishmei de Rav Amrei, arkevei atrei richshei. Right, we're going to treat it by, right, what it really means is we're going to ride it on two horses, okay, which means there's two powers to it, two strengths to this. Ushmuel amar lo yadana maya dumba. I don't know how to deal with this case. So let's go through the cases again. Bei Rav Mishmei de Rav Amrei, Arkevei Atrei Richshei, meaning we're going to treat it with two strengths, meaning what? Harehi kemat na bari, harehi kemat na tshchiv mera. It's both like a bari and a mat na tshchiv mera. How? Harehi kemat na bari she'im amari no chozer. It's like a mat na bari that since he did this kinyan, he showed it's such a strong act that he can't be chozer, but if he gets better. If he, on his deathbed, passed on a loan to someone, this part is not going to be so relevant to the rest of our discussion, but if he basically passes on a loan to someone, and this document says, so-and-so did a kinyan and passed on a loan on his deathbed to someone, normally you can't pass on a loan if you're a bari. Don't do such a thing. Remember, we're talking about a milva ba'al peh, right? One, he had a loan that was not written down, didn't connect to a shtar, that he can't pass on to the other person unless what? It's ba'amad shloshtan. In this case, if it, right, assuming it wasn't ba'amad shloshtan, if he says halvato leploni, and this document says, and he was kind of miyado, we're going to treat it as halvato leploni. We're going to allow it. In other words, even though, let's put it like this, it's not because there was a kinyan, even though there was a kinyan and we're treating it in a certain aspect like a matnat bari, we're not going to treat it like a matnat bari to exclude the option for him passing on a halva'ah. Since he was on his deathbed, we're going to allow him to transfer a halva'ah, whether or not there was a kinyan. This is why it has nothing to do with our issue, because we're going to be focusing a lot on this kinyan. And according to Rav, we're basically going to say, right, if in the shtar it said kanu, right, kanu miyadeh, or some sort of lashon of kinyan, okay, that there was a kinyan chalipin that went on there, Rav is going to say it's good, right? Meaning, it's like a matnat bari, okay? It's a done deal, okay? Even though no shtar was passed on to the mikabel, to the receiver of the gift. Ushmuel amar lo yadana mayadumba shema lo gamar lachnoto ela b'shtar ve'ein shtar la'achar mita. Why did this person do a kinyan, come Shmuel? He says the reason he must have done a kinyan, right, was because he wanted there to be a shtar. And he wanted the shtar, and this was all written down, he wanted the shtar to be passed to the mekabel. And since, or at least, we don't know for sure, but we're suggesting, comes Shmuel, that's why he says, I don't know how to deal with it. He says, maybe he only wanted it to be affected with a shtar. Now, why did someone want it to be affected with a shtar? So, first of all, which means if you actually die, it is if you don't die, so you could say, well, I only gave it to you because I thought I was dying. But if you do die, it's a done deal. And therefore, maybe he wanted to do it in a different way, to say, I want this to be treated like a matnat bari, that that I can change my mind as long as I haven't given the shtar yet. Right? In other words, I want someone to write up the shtar, but I'm not ready to give it yet. Maybe he wanted to treat it like that, and maybe that's why. So Shmuel says, based on that, maybe Shema lo gamar lach noto ela b'shtar, ve'en shtar lacharmitam. We're not allowed, if somebody wants something to be done with a shtar, and the shtar wasn't given when he was still alive, we can't give the shtar after his death. And therefore comes Shmuel and says, this is invalid, basically. Right? We don't treat this gift as anything. We cannot take the money out of his hands and give it to the person he said in the event that he dies, because maybe that wasn't his intent. So now we say, v'rami d'rava d'ravu d'shmuel ha'd'shmuel. D'shalach ravi, so each one is going to contradict what they say somewhere else. D'shalach ravi mishmei d'rabi avau. Ravin sends in the name of Rabbi Avau, he tells us this, Havuyadeh shashalach Rabbi Elazar legolah mishum Rabbeinu. We know that Rabbi Elazar sent to the golah in the name of Rav. Shchiv merasha amar kitvu utnu manele ploni v'met ein kotvim v'notnim. Okay, so now we have a shchiv merasha says, give this to Ploni, right? Kitvu v'tnu. We say ein kotvim v'notnim. Why? Because ein shtar l'charmita. Well, that's what Shmuel said. That's not what Rav said. And, right, Shema lo gamar laknoto ela b'shtar ve'en shtar l'charmita, right? Maybe when he says kitvu tnu, he really wanted it to be done only with a shtar. Right? Remember, he was on his deathbed, but he said write it and give it, which means he wanted it to be done with a shtar. That's a contradiction to what Rav said. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda passed the name Shmuel, Hilchata kotvim v'notnim, exactly the opposite. You do write the shtar, and you're not worried for what Shmuel said, Shema loga amar lach noto ela b'shtar. So kasha derava derav, kasha d'shmuel ad d'shmuel. So now how do they explain this out? These two cases are different, okay? The case of kitvu tnu, the case of, right, that there was a ketuv b'kinyan, okay, where there was kinyan written in the shtar, is different from the case of where he says kitvu utnu. Okay, what's the difference between the two cases? So here we go. Dirava dirava lo kasha, hada kanu miyade, hada lo kanu miyade. In the case of where it says a kinyan, there was a kinyan done, right? There was a kinyan chalipin, right? That's what it means, kanu. Right, kanumine, okay, where he acquires it from him, okay, that's kanumine, that's a case of he did a kinyan. If he did a kinyan, what does Shmuel say? What does Rav say? That's a good gift because they actually did a kinyan chalipin. There, I'm not worried that he also wanted to do a shtar, because why did I assume he did a kinyan? If he's a shlimer lying on his deathbed, and it's already good if he just says it. What was the point of the kinyan? It was really pointless, right? So what could the possible only reason for the kinyan be? Liapot et kocho. Okay? That's the only reason he wanted to do a kinyan, was to strengthen the act, right? Strengthen the gift. But not because he actually wanted to do a shtar, and therefore, Rav's not worried about a shtar in that case. But in the case of the kitvu utnu, he says kitvu utnu, and therefore we're concerned there was no kinyan, right? Lo kanu mine, which means what? Since he didn't strengthen it with that, we don't think that the shtar is coming, liapot et kocho, we think that the shtar is coming because he specifically wanted there to be a shtar here. He wanted to give it again. He was trying to maybe bypass laws of shchiv mera and not do it just in words. He wanted to give a shtar, and therefore, since the shtar was never given, we can't give it after his death. Now, d'shmuel ad'shmuel lo kashya. So now what about Shmuel ad'shmuel? So now, don't get confused. In the Rav case, we said because he wrote into the document that there was a kinyan, meaning there was a kinyan chalipin, the fact that he did a kinyan chalipin must testify to the fact that he wanted to do it in order just to strengthen it. Shmuel's answer is going to be that when he said hilchata kotvim v'notnin was why? Because it was in a case where Just want to check one thing. Right. When he said, Kitvu Tnu, right? In that case, Kotvim Vinotnin, why? Because in that case, it was Bimiyape et Kocho. It was specifically a case where he said, I want to give a shtar, right? Kitvu Vitnu. Why do I want to give the shtar? He said, I want to give the shtar liapot et kocho, just to strengthen his position. But what turns out, according to this, is that Rav and Shmuel don't disagree about the second case, the kitvu tnu. They're just talking about different circumstances. According to Rav, he didn't say it was liapot et kocho. Okay? According to Rav, it was just a regular case, and therefore we assume maybe he wanted to give the shtar. Shmuel says, no, the case is where he said, I want to give him the shtar, but just liapot et kocho. And now the Gemara is going to explain, like we did last time, which is, how do you know when it's going to be a yashon of liapot et kocho, right? Actually, they don't say it right here, but we're going to see later, right? It's when you say it's mosif, right? It's something, and in addition, give the shtar just to make it stronger. Okay, so therefore, they really only argue in the first case, because the second case is a difference in circumstances. Was it liapot et kocho or was it not? Right, so he says it was a case of miyaped kocho, where the shtar wasn't given for the sake of giving a shtar. The shtar was just given to strengthen what he said. Whereas according to Rav, the case was low. It wasn't a miyaped kocho case. Okay? And therefore, if it wasn't miyaped kocho, and he just said give him a shtar, then you can't give it, because ein shtar lacharmita, and we can assume that he really wanted it to be done with the shtar. Okay, but then what turns out, though, is that they are arguing in the first case still, when you do a kinyan, how do we view that kinyan? So let's just go back. According to Rav, when you do a kinyan, what happens when you do that kinyan? The reason you do the kinyan, according to Rav, must be just to strengthen your matnat shchiv mera. And according to Shmuel, when you do a kinyan, it's to show that you might want to give it, and as it's possible, that you want to give it with a shtar, and therefore, if no shtar was given, ein shtar l'acharmita. Okay? So that's there. There are two different approaches are really about, when you do a kinyan, how do we view, why would a shchiv mera do this extra thing of a kinyan? Was he doing it just to strengthen, or was he doing it because he wanted a shtar to be given? Okay. So now we're going to question.
It's like shooting yourself in the foot, according to one of the shitot.
Well, again, that's why I explained it in such a way that it depends what your motivation was. Your motivation might have been that you hadn't decided for sure yet. You wanted a shtar to be written, and then you were going to decide if you wanted to give it or not. So you're shooting yourself in the foot if all you wanted to do was give the guy that property, but it's not clear that was what you wanted to do yet. That's why. You know, you have to remember, once you said it, it's done. So you know, if you die the next minute, it's finished. And maybe you hadn't decided for sure. So you said, well, let's write up a shtar and I'll give the shtar. Okay? It could be there's other ways of reading it, but that's a possible suggestion. Vaha Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So now we're going to question Shmuel. Shchiv mera shekatav kol nechasav la'achirim af al pi shekanu biyado. Okay, a shchiv mera writes all his nechasim lachiri. Even if he does a kinyan, okay, so now listen carefully, right? Remember, what did we say? If he does a kinyan, right, according to Shmuel, we have to be concerned that maybe he wanted a shtar, ve'ein shtar lacharmita, and we don't, it's not effective. But what does Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Shmuel? If he wrote all his nechasim lachiri, matnat shchiv mera, even if he does a kinyan, which already you can tell where he's going, it doesn't make a difference if you wrote did a kinyan or not, right? You follow? Because his lashon is even if you did a kinyan, which is going to show that Shmuel is basically saying it's the same if you did a kinyan as the same if you didn't. And what did Shmuel say before? If you did a kinyan, it shows you might have wanted to give a shtar. And if you didn't give the shtar, ain't shalach harmita, and it's totally ineffective if you die. Nothing happens. So here, it actually doesn't talk about if you die, but they're going to infer from it what would happen if you die. So Shchiv Mera that writes all his nechasim l'achirim, he gives away all his money, classic Shchiv Mera. Right? Even though, right, if he gets better, even though he gave away, even if he did a kinyan, right? This goes bad, this isn't related to our issue yet. Even if he does a kinyan, if he gets better, obviously the whole thing is chozer bo, because he wrote all his nechasim, and it was only if he was going to die. Biyadua shelo haya kinyan ela machmata mita. Okay, because it was obvious that the only reason why he did this kinyan was because he thought he was going to die. Okay, but the assumption here is that that he doesn't really distinguish whether there was a kinyan or whether there wasn't a kinyan. Okay, and therefore, The assumption is, when he says Amad Choserbo, if he gets healthy, he's Choserbo, but it sounds like what would happen if he died? It would be a Matnat Shchiv Mera. And according to Shmuel, what did we just say? It won't be a Matnat Shchiv Mera because you have to worry that maybe he wanted to do it with a shtar. So therefore, so what happens? So we asked him this question. Okay, it was, right, what? Rabbi was sitting before Rav Nachman and he asked him, okay, did Shmuel really say this? And now, Rav Nachman, achvele biyadei v'ishtik. He just showed him something with his hand and was silent. Okay, kind of answered him with a hand movement. Kikam, Amrav, when they got up, Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak LeRava, in other words, when Rava got up, I guess, to leave the Beit Midrash, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak follows Rava, it's not the same Rav Nachman, right? And he says, my achvelach, what did Rav Nachman's motion to you? What did he mean? So obviously, what's interesting is here, Rava understood what Rav Nachman meant with his hand movement. So Amar Lei, b'miyapet kocho. He says, don't get confused between the two cases. In the case where it works, this case we just brought, the Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, that, when he says, he means, in a way that he did it, liyapotet kocho, okay, where he just did the kinyan in order to strengthen what he was doing, but not because he wanted it to be done with a shtar. And now we get to our question, hechidami miyapet kocho, the exact same thing we saw on Daf Kuflam and Vav. Amrav Chista, v'kanina mine, right, the lashon of kinyan, mosif al matan tada, right, I did a kinyan in addition to this matana that I gave, meaning I gave the kinyan just to add strength to the matana that I gave. Okay, that would be the lashon of miyaped kocho. Okay, now we're moving on to more machlokot between Rav and Shmuel. Pshita, katav lezeh v'katav lezeh, if you write nechasim to one, all your property to one, and then you change your mind and write it to somebody else. Both Rav and Shmuel agree. Okay, dechiyata Rav Dimi Amar, dait ke mevatal dait ke, right? That's the case where Rav Dimi said, one will can cancel the other will, and therefore in this case, both Rav and Shmuel are going to agree that the second guy gets it. But what if, that's just if you said, I want to give all my money to so-and-so on your deathbed, and then a few minutes later you change your mind and you say, I want to give my money to so-and-so on my deathbed. But, katav v'zikah lezeh, what if he writes all of his nechasim to someone, and then, right, and then they... Right, they, Zika, one second, right, and he gives them the shtar, okay? He writes a shtar and he gives the shtar to Reuven, okay? That's the way the Rashbam understands it. Masar lo et hashtar l'riyat zchuto, right, is proof, okay? He also says, yesh l'shonot acharim v'lo yishru be'enai. There's a debate about whether I'm trying to remember the different opinions I saw, but one is he gave it to someone else to be mizakeh on his behalf. That's usually where we see zika, right? Zachin la'adam shalo b'fanav, I can give you a gift on behalf of someone else. So I gave it to someone else. There's a bit of a debate about what the zika is, okay? So he writes it, and let's say he gives the shtar, let's go with the Rashbam, and he gives the shtar to Reuven. And then, katav v'zika lezeh, and then he gives the shtar to somebody else, okay? He writes a new shtar and gives it to somebody else. So Rav Amar, now what's the issue here? It's one thing to say, I'm giving it to someone, and then just retract your statement. But if you said it and you actually gave a shtar, maybe that has tokef that can't be canceled. So comes Rav and he says, yes, that's true. Rav Amar Rishon Kana, the first guy acquires it. Harehu kemat nabari. If you do this zika, okay, again, depending on exactly how you translate it, but it puts it in the category of a regular gift. Okay, which means it's done. Ushmuel amar sheni kana. Why? Because arayu kamanat shchiv mera. Just because you did this zika doesn't change it. It's still a manat shchiv mera. You were still on your deathbed giving this. You're giving it because you thought you were going to die, and therefore we're going to allow you to change your mind. So now they say, v'ha if leguba chadazimna. I skipped something? Oh, sorry. You're right. I skipped. Okay. Rav Amar Rishon Kana, Shmuel Amar Sheni Kana. Okay, sorry. Now we get to the explanations. Rav Amar Rishon Kana, why? Because Harehu Kemat Nabari, right? The Rishon Kana, because it's like a Mat Nabari. And Shmuel Amar Sheni Kana, because Harehu Kemat Nachrib Mera. Wait, didn't I read that?
You said that loud. I don't know if you read it.
Oh, okay. So Shmuel Amar, the second guy is Kone because we treat it like a matnat shchibira. So now we say, wait a minute. Isn't this the exact machloka we started with today? Okay, where, remember, what was the case? He said on his deathbed, I'm making a kinyan, right? And Rav says, it's like a matnat bari that, remember, if he says he's giving, if he says I did a kinyan, then we treat it like a matnat bari, and he can't be chozer bo. And Shmuel had said, no, maybe he only wanted to do it with a shtar, and therefore it's invalid what he did. So again, how would you view this here? So if you gave it to one guy and then gave it to the second guy, according to Rav, as soon as you do the kinyan, this is valid. It's done. It's like a matnat bari. And according to Shmuel, the first thing is totally invalid because if you, maybe you actually wanted to be makne b'shtar. Okay, so now it's a little tricky, according to the Rashbam, who says, Masar lo et hashtar
l'ri'ei. So is one person treating it like a kinyan, the actual passing over the will, and the other one's not treating it as a kinyan?
Right, so katav v'zika, no, he's treating it like a kinyan, but according to Shmuel, it doesn't matter. Right, if we treat it like a kinyan, then according to Shmuel, we should say, well, maybe he only wanted to do it with a shtar. And, but the problem is, Rashbam says he did do it with a shtar. So, one second, right, because then, wouldn't you be saying, if, that's why the Rashbam, I think, is somewhat difficult, because if you did it with a shtar, then what would be the concern, according to Shmuel? Right? It's hard to understand. So, one second. Right, they just say it's like the same thing. They say he just gave the shtar. When it says zika, according to the Rashbam, you would say he gave the shtar as a proof. That's why the Rashbam said l'riyaba alma. But it wasn't like he gave the shtar and was makne the shtar to him. It's a bit of a different nuance. But okay, maybe that's the strength of the others who say there was no shtar given. He just gave the gift to someone to be zoche for the other person. Okay, so now they say, they have the machloket some in another, right? It's the exact same machloket, so why do you need to say both, right? It's the same thing as that. So they answered tzricha. Why tzricha? Now remember, it doesn't actually say there was a kinyan here. So di'it mar baha, if you just said the machloket in this case, in the first case, you would say, baha ka amarav mishum dekanu miyadeh. The whole reason in the first case was because they actually did a kinyan chalipin. Aval b'ha de lo kanu miyade mine. Right, in this case, lo kanu mine. Okay, they didn't acquire it from him. Ema modele l'shmuel. You would say that maybe they agree with Shmuel where there actually was no kinyan, that maybe he really wanted it only to be affected with a shtar. V'iit mar b'ha. And if you just had it in that case, the other, right, the case where we just saw it here, what would you say? B'ha kamar Shmuel. Right? You might say, though, in the case where there was actually a kinyan, you might say that they agree, the kinyan was just liapotet kocho, and therefore they would agree with Rav, and therefore it's tzricha. Okay, that was all one version of this sugya, the surah matnuhachi. Okay, luckily the second version is a little simpler. Bepumpedita matnuhachi. In Pumpedita, they had things transpire a little bit differently. Amar of Yirmiyah bar Abba. Shachule, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba says, Shachule mi bei Rav l'Shmuel. In the house of Rav, they sent a question to Shmuel. Probably this was after Rav died, they used to send their questions to Shmuel. Because Rav died first, and then they would ask questions to Shmuel. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Shchiv Meira, Shakatav kol nechasav l'achirim bekanu miyado, that's our case, right? It's Shchiv Meira, that writes all his nechasim to other people, and there was a kinyan chalipin, Mahu, what's the case? Shalach lehu ein achar kinyan klum. So Shmuel says, right, that this is, if he did a kinyan and there was no shtar, we can't treat this as anything. We basically erase it as if it never happened. So savor mine hanemile la'acher aval la'atzmo lo. I'm confused. Ein achar kinyan klum, this is, one second. Give me a second. Okay, Right, they, one second. Einachar kinyan klum. Sorry, einachar kinyan klum means the opposite. Sorry, they asked him, sorry, they asked Shmuel if he writes his nechasim and they did a kinyan, so Shmuel says that's a done deal. Okay? So what did they think? Savramine, when he said this, Hanemile la'achir. What did they think he was talking about? Remember, what did Shmuel say in the second case? Shmuel said, right, that Shmuel Amar Sheni Kana, right? The second guy, right, after the Rishon, they did it, they did some sort of Zika, right? So he said, no, the second one is Kona, you can go back on it. So what did they think? They thought that when he said this, Eina Harkinyon Klum means that if Katav Zika LaRishon, right, and then he tries to give it to someone else, it doesn't work, right? The opposite of what Shmuel said before. Aval la'atzmo lo. Okay, but if he wants to just be chozer bo, he can. Okay, in other words, when he said Eina Harkinyon Klum, he means that if I gave a gift to Judy, I can't then change my mind and say I want to give it to Aviva. If I did a kinyon with you. But if I did a kinyon with you and then I change my mind, I want to keep it for myself, that I'm allowed to do. But Amar lehu Rav Chista, ki ata Rav Huna mikufri, persha, bein la'atzmo, bein la'acherim. Okay, he says, no. Shmuel really meant, right, either which way. Okay, bein la'atzmo, bein la'acherim, no matter what. Okay, just, I want to check
he
one.
Can't.
Sorry. Yeah, he cannot. He cannot change his mind. Okay, once he does a kinyan, he cannot change his mind. So I'm just confused because this, according to this, would be different than what Shmuel says in the other sugya, right? Here there's an assumption that there was a kinyan, that there was a shtar and a kinyan. That's, I think, the assumption here. Right, that's the thing, right. The Rashbam adds that he gave a shtar, he gave a will, like he gave a shtar to the person, and he did a kinyan.
In this case.
Okay, that if he did all those things, then einachar kinyan klum. Hahu tekanu minei. So now there was a case. Now we're going to see a case that happened. He did a kinyan. Ata lekamei de Rav Huna. So he goes in front of Rav Huna. Amar, mayi avid lach. Sorry, but there's nothing I can do for you. In other words, what happened? The person did a kinyan, and then he wanted to change his mind. Okay? And when he got better. Remember, what did Rav say? We treat it like a matnat bari, which means you can't change your mind about it. So Rav Huna says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Delo aknit kidmaknu inshe. And it's, you should have been smart and just done your classic Shchiv Mira when you're on your deathbed. Just say, I want to give it to so-and-so. But because, basically saying, you messed yourself up. Had you not gone so far, you would have been fine. You would have been able to. But there's nothing I could do for you. Ha'u matanta. Now we have another case. This is a much simpler case. Dehavakata b'chayim uvimavet. Now we're going to have another machloka Rav and Shmuel about a case where he writes, he says, I want to give this to you b'chayim uvimavet. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like whether I live or whether I die. But maybe not. Rav Amar, harei kematnat shchiv meira. No, he really was just saying when I die. Okay, we're going to have to explain, well, why did he say b'chayim? Okay, which means you can be chozer bo. Shmuel Amar, harei kematnat bari. This has nothing to do with kinyan. We're away from that. Now we're just talking about the lashon of b'chayim uvamav. Rav Amar, harei kematnat shchiv meira. Why? Midichtiv ba b'mavet. Since he wrote the words b'mavet. Achar mitaka amarle. Since he added the words in my death, what he meant to say was when I die. So, b'hai dechtiv b'chayim, so why did he say that? Sima ba'alma dechaye. People just write these things because they don't want to say, I'll give this to you when I die, because they don't want to say the words when I die, right? It doesn't sound good. It's going to bring like an ayin hara, maybe something. Therefore, what did he say? When I live and when I die, to say, may I live a long life. Ushmuel amar harei kematnat bari midichtiv b'chayim. Okay, obviously, right? It says b'chayim mechayim ka'amar. He means when I'm alive. V'hai dekatav uvamavet. So why did he say then uvamavet? If he meant I want to give this gift to you even if I'm alive, why did he say if I die? Because kemanda amar me'atav yad olam. What he was trying to say is forever and ever. Okay, when I live, when I die, right? Okay. V'amrei nahardeah. Hilchata kavate de Rav. So now in Nahardea, they paskin like Rav. Okay, which is interesting because we generally paskin like Shmuel, b'dine mamono. Okay, but in this case, they say we paskin like Rav, that if you say b'chayim uv'mavet, it's treated that you really meant b'mavet. Amar Rava, now Rava comes and says, wait a minute. Depends how you wrote it. If you said b'chayim uv'mavet, then we're going to hold like Rava that you really meant only in death. But iktiv ba mechayim kana. If you say from my life and if I die, then what you meant is during my lifetime also. Okay, then it would be kona, and if you got better, right, you would basically give up the gift. So now, amar amemar leitil chetakavate de Rava. We don't paskin like Rava, that if you wrote mechayim, we're going to hold like Rav said, very simply, any kind of mechayim is going to count as if you really meant, may I live a long life, but I'm giving you this gift on my death, you know, when I die. Amar le Ravashi la meimar, pshita. Obviously, the halacha is not like Rava. Taha amri nahardia hilchatakavate de Rav. Right? And we already said the halacha is like Rav, so we know we don't paskin like Rava. He's kind of looking at it as if there's a three-way machloket. There's Rav, Shmuel, and Rava. But comes the Gemara and says, no, well, ma'u detema, you might have thought, mechayim mode Rav kam mashvan. You might have thought that he was just explaining Rav and saying that Rav himself would agree with me that if you said mechayim, so comes a memer to say, no, it's not the case.
How many generations later was Rava?
He was three.
Yeah.
He was fourth generation, yeah. Right, so Rav and Shmuel were first generation and he was fourth generation. So he's coming later, which makes sense to say that he was coming to explain Rava. So Amemar's coming to say, even though he's explaining Rav, even if you would view it that way, we still don't hold that way. We don't think that Rav said it like that. Okay, now we have an interesting case. Hahuda ata l'kamed Rav Nachman l'nahardea. Somebody comes before Rav Nachman and Nahardea. He said the words mechayim uvachayim uvamavet. He really, right, he wants to be chozer bo in his gift. And we paskin like Rav, so what should we say? He can be chozer bo, right? Because he really meant b'mavet. But what happened? He went to Nahardea to ask Rav Nachman this question. Now, Nahardea was the place where Shmuel was the head of the court there, okay? He ran Nahardea. So Rav Nachman had a bit of a problem here because he wanted to paskin like Rav, because we paskin like Rav, but he was in the domain of Shmuel. And it's a little, right, it's, even though that is the halacha, it's not so nice to paskin that way in Shmuel's domain. So what does he do? Shadre l'kamedra v'yirmiyah bar'aba l'shum tamya. He sends him to this other place where v'yirmiyah bar'aba is outside of the city of Nahardea so that he can rule there. Amar hacha atri de Shmuel. Now I'm sitting in the place of Shmuel. Hechi navi kavate de Rav. How can I go like Rav? Okay. Now this case is the most interesting one of today's daf. Hahida aite l'kamei de Rava. Okay, we're noticing in these dapim that Rava is a bit controversial in these sugyot. So a woman comes in front of Rava. It's always a woman, okay? This case particularly is mat'im ofyani to a woman's case in those days. She comes before Rava with this case of mechayim uvamavet. She's mechayim uvamavet, she said, and she wants to be chozer bo. Avad la Rava kishmate. So Rava did like his own dealing, right? So wait a minute. She said, mechayim uvamavet. Now, Rava himself believed that that was what Rav meant, that when Rav said, bachayim uvamavet, then we're going to assume it was b'mavet. But if you said, mechayim uvamavet, then you meant I'm giving this as a gift. So he said to the woman, clearly you gave this as a gift, and sorry, it's a done deal because you said the words mechayim. Okay. What happens? So, Hava Katirdale, she was nudging him because she really didn't think that that was the case, that that was what she meant, or she really wanted, or she really, right, either she really knew what she meant, and she's trying to say that, or she really just wanted her money back, and so she was a real nudnik and bothering him, ad kedei kach, that Amar le Rav Papa Berei, de Rav Hanan, he says to Rav Papa, the son of Rav Hanan, Safre, the sofer, zilk tovla, okay, write what she wants, that she gets the gift back, uktovba, socher alehen omita'an. But right at the bottom, that you can, okay, what is this? This is a quote from the sixth parak of Baba Metzia, socher et ha'umnim. If you remember this case, what happens? He hires workers, the workers renege on him at the last minute, right? And he's stuck now, it's Savar Aved. So, meaning he's now going to lose, right? He needed something for a wedding or a funeral, and now they're not going to show up on time, and he's not going to find someone. So, he's allowed to either hire workers for more money and make them pay the difference, because now he can only find someone who's willing to do the job for a higher price, or he can tell them, I'm going to hire you for double the price so that they'll agree to do it, the original workers. But then, that's mita'an, he can trick them, but he doesn't actually have to pay them the double price. When it comes down to it, he can only pay them the price he originally agreed on because they're the ones messing him up. Now, what was the point of him writing Socher Alehenu Mita'an? He writes this code at the bottom of the shtar so that when she brings the shtar to a court, the court knows that this is just Mita'an. He was just tricking her. Okay? It was like a code. So that any court wouldn't uphold this document. Crazy that he did this, right? He's basically saying, I want you off my back.
But she didn't want the document upholded. She wanted it.
No. He's writing a document that says she gets the money back. Okay, but then he writes Socher Alehenu Mita'an, which in code language, knowing well that the woman was going to have no idea what he was talking about, she doesn't know the sugya and Socher Ta'umnin, okay, and therefore he'll just write this little thing at the bottom. She won't know what it is, right? How many people read the fine print, and this will be done, okay? And she'll get off my back, and hopefully by the time she brings it to court, whatever, she'll get over her, you know, most people they get all worked up, and, you know, eventually she won't bother coming back to me. Okay. Amra, now this woman, unfortunately for Rava's sake, was smarter than he thought. And she got it, presumably, right away. She knew what he was talking about. So what does she say? Litaba arbe. Okay, this is very similar, if you recall. The sugya with Rav, who wouldn't give the ketubah to the almana, and she cursed him, and she said, "Hafchu al karseh, his chair should be overturned." And what did they do, if you remember in that case? They turned his chair upside down, hoping that the klala that she gave would be finished with that. Okay, same thing here. She says, his boat should sink. At uye kamatitle. At uye kamatitle. In other words, his boat should sink because he tricked me, right? So his boat should sink. Amshinu lemani de Rava b'maya. They put Rava's clothes in the water, hoping that it would be like that stuff will sink, you know, and not his boat will sink. That the curse will come true through that. Ba'filu hachi lo ifrek mitiva. And even so, his boat wasn't saved from drowning. Okay. In other words, her curse came true. Okay. And here again, Rava is involved in a bit of a tricky business here, and he gets punished as a result. Okay. And here goes for smart women who knew what they were doing. You can't be tricked. New Mishnah. Lo katav lashchiv mera. Okay, sorry. Lo katav bashchiv mera. We now have a shtar that says someone gave a gift, but it doesn't say that he was on his deathbed. So, who omer? But it doesn't say he was buried either. So someone gave a gift to so-and-so. And the guy says, shchiv mera hayiti. V'hein omrin, bari hayita. Okay, now there's a debate. Was he a shchiv mera when he wrote this, or was he a bari? Sarich lavi raya sheshchiv mera haya, divrei Rabbi Meir. So he has to bring a proof that he was on, that he was, what?
Doctor's note,
right, exactly. Okay? V'chachamim omrim, hamotzime chavero alav haraya. They said the money's in his hands right now, so if they want to get the money out of his hands, they have to prove that he was a bari at the time. So machlok. Hava matanta, to have a kataba. Okay, now we have another case. There was a matana. The Gemara starts with this case. There was a matana that it said in the matana in the shtar, kad hava katsir virame ba'arse. Okay, so now it says when he was sick and lying in his bed. Okay, so it did say, right, doctor's note. Velo kataba, but it doesn't say like most documents of a shchiv mera. What happens? The agents say. They write a shtar that says, he said this on his deathbed, and then he subsequently died. Okay? In this case, it said he said it on his deathbed, but it didn't say, umigo mari iftar. And from this illness, he died. So now what happens? Iftar le beit olme. He went off to his beit olme. So I'm a rabba. Now what happens? This is, let's say, a year later, and the guy's dead. So the question is, do we say, oh, that was his matnat shchiv mera, and he died from that illness? Or do we say we have no idea if he died from that illness or not? Maybe he got up from that illness. If he got up from that illness, then his matnat shchiv mera is disappeared. Because remember, right? He gets up, then everything, amad, right? He's chozer bo. So amar rabba, v'harei meit, v'harei kivro mochiach alav. He's dead right now, so we can assume that he died from that sickness. This is very interesting. Okay, wait till you hear Abaye. Amale Abaye, hashta, how could you say that? Umas svina sheruban le'abed. let's say a boat is sinking. Now, there's a debate among the Mefarshim whether the boat actually sinks, or we see the boat about to sink, we don't actually know whether the boat sank or not, okay? Either way, it could be the debate is either way. So there's a Sfina Sheruban La'abed, right? What's the case of a Sfina? If a Sfina is sinking, so chances are most of the people in that boat are going to drown. That's the Ruban. Most chances are. But there's a small chance that maybe there were survivors, correct? So, notnin ala, what do we say halachically? Notnin alehem chumrei chayim v'chumrei metim. We treat it as if maybe they're alive and maybe they're dead. So the example, the classic example they gave is a woman who's married to someone, not an aguna case we're talking about here, but we're talking about truma. If she's a bat kohen and her husband was there, who was a Yisrael, is he alive? Do we assume he's alive, in which case she can't go back and eat, right? We assume he's alive and she can't go back and eat truma in her father's house. Or likewise, if she's a Yisrael and she's married to a kohen and maybe he died on the boat, she can't continue eating truma. That's chumrei mitim. So chumrei chayim is maybe he's alive, and therefore she doesn't go back to her father's house, so she's a bat kohen. Okay, so now, what does he say here, very logically? In that case, it's ruban la'abed. Chances are, right, 90% chance you're going to drown. But cholin, sherov cholin l'chayim, lo koshakein. If they're in the case where we assume 90% chance, I'm just throwing out a number, 90% chance you're going to die from drowning, and yet we say maybe you're still alive. So in this case, where most sick people actually do live, most sick people don't die. That, by the way, if you remember, we had this whole sugya, that originally most sick people used to die. And then there was this whole sugya about that. But anyway.
Depends what you're sick with.
Right, depends what you're sick with. And that was also talking about a time during Yaakov Avinu's life, if I remember correctly. It went back to Yaakov, and there was a whole drusha they made about it. I don't know if you were meant to take that as fact anyway. It was more like the way things developed. But anyway, if most cholim are lechayim, lo kol shekein, that we're going to treat it, that maybe the guy was lived from that illness, and therefore, Rabbi, how can you paskin and assume, why don't we say that we put alav chumrei chayim, that maybe he lived from that, in which case this gift is a good gift. So Amar Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. So now Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Yeshua, keman az lahashmata de Rabba. Rabbi Natan. He says, so we now have a machloka Rabba and Abaye. Rabba says he's dead, and therefore, now that he's dead a year later, we can assume, again, I'm just throwing out a number of a year, we can assume that he must have died from that illness from then, and therefore, given the gift is a good gift. Abaye says, no, the gift is not a good gift, because we have to assume that maybe chumrei chayim, right? Maybe he actually lived, and therefore the gift was canceled. So now they're going to say that Rabba holds like Rabbi Natan in this braita. Detanya, mi motzi miyad mi. Okay, the case is where there's a shtar matana that doesn't say whether it was bari or shchiv mera. So the question is, who takes out of whose hands? Okay, so mi who motzi miyadehem below ra'aya, he can take out of their hands. Meaning, the sick guy can say what?
The giver.
Right, the giver can say, I get to keep my gift, okay, without having to bring proof, according to the first opinion. V'hein ein motzi miyado ela b'raya. If they want to take it from him, they have to prove that he was a bari. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Natan, remember, we're trying to say that Rabbi held like Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan omer, im bari hu alav lavi raya shaya shchiv mera. It goes by what he is right now. If right now he's healthy, then, right, we go by the chazakah dehashta, right? The chazakah of right now. We say, look, let's look at the guy right now. If he's healthy now, then he has to bring a proof, shaya shchiv mera, at the time that he wrote it. Im shchiv merahu, if he's now a shchiv mera, then alehem ravi raya shabari haya. So we assume whatever he is right now, that's what we assume he was then, which is exactly what Rabbah said. Rabbi said, well, now he's dead, so we can assume that he died from that disease. Okay, the last thing of today we're going to read is that Amar Rabbi Elazar, ulituma kemachloket. Also with tuma we have the same machloket. Okay, it's the same concept. Ditnan. We have this concept that a reshut hayachid, if you remember, safek tuma reshut hayachid, we're going to, right, safek tuma reshut harabim, we're going to treat as tameh, And Sevek Tumah Berushit Echid is the opposite. Right, because it's based on the Sota. The Sota is only Tmeah Berushit Echid, right, if she's alone with someone. So we're going to say Sevek Tumah Berushit Echid is Tameh, and Sevek Tumah Berushit Rabin is Tahor. Okay, so now, what if you have a Bik'ah? A Bik'ah, okay, is this area that Biyamora Chama, in the summer season, people would walk through. But in the winter season, after they planted the crops, nobody would walk through because it would ruin the crops. Once they were already grown, it was allowed for people to cut through, like make a shortcut. But in the winter, nobody would walk through because it would ruin. That's when they really needed to grow. So Bik'ah b'yamot hachama, reshut hayachid l'shabbat, it's considered, we're assuming that it was a Bik'ah that was surrounded with a wall tent b'chem hai. So b'reshut hayachid, it's reshut hayachid l'inyan shabbat, but reshut harabim l'tum'ah, but it's considered a reshut harabim for tumah purposes, okay? Because everybody walks through in the summer. So therefore, it's considered open to Rishud HaRabim since people cut through. But B'yimorak Shamim, it's considered Rishud HaYachid L'kan U'L'kan. Since nobody comes through in the winter, it's considered Rishud HaRabim. Now, what's the issue, though? We'll stop here with this, but the point being that they... what if you don't know when you walk through this field... You find out later that you happen to have walked through some field and it had bones there. Okay, there was a Safek Tumah there, right? You didn't know there was a Safek Tumah at the time. You found out later there was a Safek Tumah. But you don't know, was it during Yimot HaGshamim or during Yimot HaChamah? So the machloket is, do we go by what it is now when you find out? When you find out, we go by what it is now. That would match Rabbi Natan, right? So Rabbi Natan would say the same thing there. And Rabbi Yaakov would say, no, right? Until you have proof, we don't judge it as assuming. You need proof in order to make it problematic. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll finish up with the sunset.